Welcome into Season 3, Episode 14 of the Sabermetrics Podcast, hosted by the Charging Buffalo. My name is Bill. Alongside me, as always, is Walt. Walt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I know the Saber season, I guess it ended as we hoped it would, but at the same time, it didn't, because they were just a little short of that playoff spot. But overall, I think pretty good end to the season, and looking forward to talking about that and some of Kevin Adams and Don Granato's comments at the presser today as well.
Yeah, that was part of the reason we delayed a little bit. Also, we've just been kind of crazy busy with stuff and traveling. I know I've got some traveling coming up. You had some traveling going on, so that's where we've been. Last episode was actually in Levi We Trust, and they rode that train pretty hard until the end of the season. What was your overall thoughts just on him in general? Because I he's like the hot button topic. I just want to get him kind of out of the way. But what did you think of Devon Levi coming in? And then we'll really kick it off with some other topics here.
I mean, I honestly think it's pretty incredible how he's able to come in here, how he's able to perform. I know he had some starts that weren't the greatest, but I mean, overall, he had a really consistent track record, and his games where he's on, he was really on. And really just like Devon Levi, the person too. I mean, he just seems like such an interesting guy. I mean, definitely a bit of a weird guy too, like every NHL goalie. Mm-hmm. But I mean, just someone that I think the fans will grow to love, and someone who I think will definitely be in the cards for that goaltending spot next season.
Absolutely. And I've had to kind of change my view, because I was definitely like, just send him to Rochester, give him a year, give him like full starts and let him kind of do his thing and ease his way in. But I mean, they kind of showed, and he kind of showed, that he can be with Buffalo next year. We will get into the goaltending situation, because that obviously was one of the things that was brought up to Don Granato and Kevin Adams. Let's get some bad stuff out of the way. Sabres missed the playoffs by just a win. All they had to do was beat Florida that one game and then, you know, do what they continued to do towards the end of the season. They would have made the playoffs. I said on the last episode, it is a success regardless if they make it or not. I still think that way. Definitely disappointed. It sucks. I wish they could have made it. That would have been great for everyone, great for the city, great for the team, you know, fan base, and really solidifying the job that Kevin Adams and Don Granato have done. Unfortunately, it didn't roll that way. I'm not one of those people that's like losing their minds over it. It's kind of, they're few and far between, but I've seen some people like really, really upset. And not in the like, dang, they could have done it, and man, if they just had a game here and there, stuff like that. Like very, very much upset, like, we need to fire people. And I was like, what's going on? Again, I'm picking a small minority out of all the comments that I've seen, but I have seen them, and it's pretty wild to me. But overall, just as a recap on the season, it was a lot of fun. I had a great time. Gave us great content to talk about, and I've said it all year. I'll say it hopefully one more time this episode and park it for the next few, but the best is really yet to come. I mean, this is just the beginning, and I'm super excited for that. So as a whole, I know we went from super specific in Devon Levi to just a general, how'd you feel about the season? But that's what we do here. We keep you on your toes. So what is your general feeling on the season from start to finish? Because I think it was the Charging Buffalo puts out a tweet saying, like, what was your favorite moment? And for some reason, I just instantly thought, I was like, first game of the season, like first couple periods, Darlene just comes over and sprays Norris in the face while he's down on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just like, that just kind of set a mood for the season. It's just like, we're going for it, boys. And I was like, all right, I'm in. So what's your, do you have any couple moments or anything like that? I mean, we can rehash a bunch of them if you really want, but just wanted to get your general sense of the season.
I mean, I feel like there's just been so many. I mean, I know that Darlene sprained Josh Norris with the ice that first game. I think that really like gave us a look into what version of Rasmus Darlene we'd be getting that season, which was just some guy that just played with an edge and just seemed different. So that first game, I think that kind of set the pace for the year. I mean, even after they beat Ottawa that first game, I still was unsure where things would end up going. But I mean, just all the memories throughout the year. Devon Levi's first NHL start with that win against the Rangers. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty special with the Jeff Skinner overtime winner.
Yep.
I mean, going to Boston, beating the Bruins in overtime, I thought that was pretty special. Ryan Miller night,
yeah, I was just
winning
say.
That game in overtime yep. for him. I mean, feels like any game, I mean, other than like that Florida-New Jersey game, which at the end were must-win games, but at the same time, they won all the games outside of that, so you really yeah. can't blame too much. I do feel like this team has won like every single big moment game, like every single special event game, even going back to last season with Rick Jeanneret night and whatnot.
Yeah.
I feel like this team always his last steps game. Up for those special event games.
Yeah, his last yeah. game. I mean, they won it, what, against like Chicago in overtime, which is like, but at the same time, I mean, like they still won it on a big night.
Yeah.
No Jason Botterill losing his mind because they lost on Kids Day at like noon on a Monday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Kids Day, I feel like Kids Day games, they always get, like, just, like, wrecked in.
Oh, but,
I
it's
mean,
like
that's probably because it's, yeah, it's because it's, like, nobody wants to play Saturday at, like, 11 a.m. or whenever those games are.
Yeah, it's usually, like, a Monday at, like, noon, and they're playing someone yeah. out west, and the team out west, it's, like, 9 a.m. start time for them. They're, like, doing warm-ups
yeah.
at, like, 7 a.m. their time. They come in and just whoop them. And you're like, what just happened
just
there?
Just cursed bots.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, it was... Man, just where we've come from, and like even just like while we were recording this podcast from, you know, day one to now, but like even obviously stemming back behind that from where we were to where we are now is just, it feels good. I mean, we didn't make the
yeah.
playoffs, and I'm like excited about the trajectory of this team. And so that's within itself, probably a lot of people feel that way too. So I think they earn their support back. They have to continue to perform. Like, you can't just say, well, last season we were good, now you guys should like all show up, or, you know, everything should be back to normal when, you know, the team was good when it comes to like fans and all that. I mean, you still have to show, it's a new season, and they'll be the first to tell you. So with that, where do you see, we'll get into lineups and predictions, obviously, in future episodes, but just a general sense of, like, are you... I know the question was asked and it kind of got shut down a few times, but, like, playoffs or bust next year? But, like, what's your general sense for next year? We're just going to throw it out there now, and then we'll maybe revisit it later in the summer, stuff like that.
I mean, I'd say my personal expectations is definitely for this team to make it to the playoffs. I definitely think it's very far from the end of the world if they do happen to miss the playoffs. I mean, just look at the teams the Sabres were competing with for a playoff spot this season. I mean, you see an Ottawa team that tried going all in, a Detroit team that made some big free agent splashes, got the Capitals with Ovechkin. They missed the playoffs. You get the Penguins. They still have Crosby and Malkin. Haven't made the best moves outside of them, but still a great team nonetheless. They missed the playoffs. And then you get that Florida Panthers team, which was viewed as like one of the favorites heading into the season. I mean, they won the President's Trophy not too long ago, and they barely make it into the playoffs. I think for the expectation for the Sabres to be playoff or bust next year, I think is a little over the top. I mean, I don't think heads will start rolling if this team misses the playoffs next year, but my personal expectation and hope is absolutely playoffs next season. Won't be too upset they miss it. I mean, still be disappointed, but this team has a long way to go before I think we start like questioning why they're not going far, why they're not making the playoffs. I mean, maybe not next season, but the season after. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just think next season's a bit too premature to be playoffs or bust. We're firing everyone up. The team doesn't make it.
Yeah, I agree, but there can definitely be massive disappointment if you don't make it, just because, look, you made a good step. Now you guys are a year older. You need to take a next step. But the thing is, if, and we'll get into this more on future episodes, especially during kind of like the dog days of summer, or like before free agency or the draft, where, you know, moves can be made too, but I mean, how many spots are there really to bring in new talent without moving people out? So if they don't, which, I mean, if this year's any indication, they're just going to stick with this crew And especially when it comes to, well, they have a lot of this cap space. Well, again, Kevin Adams brought up, and I agree with him, it's going to get chewed up a lot. And he's got two defensemen that he's got to sign that were both number one overall picks, and they're very good. That's going to get eaten up pretty quickly. And you got some other people coming up too. I'll pull up Cap Friendly in a bit, but they'll also be one of the youngest teams again. One of them. I mean, especially you take away Craig Anderson.
I hate to say that's gonna drop off a lot.
Sorry, Craig. You take off Craig Anderson and Kyle Opposo. Let's just say those two are gone. Who's younger than them? Really? I mean, a basement dweller, basically. I maybe Anaheim or something like that. I don't know, but they're up there, and so they're gonna be the youngest team or one of the youngest teams in the NHL again, if you know things kind of hold pat. I mean, that's something to chew on right there. Is like. Again, if they hold pat and they pretty much keep the same guys, I still say it's like you guys need to make the playoffs or it's a disappointment. I won't say playoffs or bust, but it's 100% a disappointment, much over the disappointment that we had this year, just missing by 2 points. But that's...
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the interesting thing for me because I'm going to be interested in seeing what like the Vegas odds are for them making it to the playoffs next year because I'd imagine
I think they're going to be low
those
again.
Odds would still yeah they'd still probably have them missing the playoffs, which I think the expectations from outside the organization versus inside, like just in terms of the fan base, I wonder if, like how much that actually differs. I mean, I know fans are usually, I mean, we've been starving for playoff hockey. I mean, yeah. It's been so long that I feel for me personally, yeah, I probably hold those expectations a bit higher than Vegas, but
yeah, well, that's going to
definitely
going to
be a battle.
It's well, that's going to happen simply because it has been so long, and so and like they've had to rebuild multiple times, and so like it, there comes a point where you know people are fed up, but really they're only a couple years into this specific rebuild if we wanted to section them off, if that makes sense. So I mean, you kind of have to cut off like the first half of like what is it, 12 seasons they haven't made it. You kind of have to cut off like 7 of those years because like yeah. They weren't even through like their first rebuild. Well, let's see if I can do math here. They were like in the midst of like their first rebuild kind of, and seeing if they could make the jump. And then it didn't happen. Then they kind of retooled and it didn't happen. And so now here they are.
Yeah.
And so it's like,
I mean, it's crazy how far back it goes. Cause like,
yeah, it's just, it's been mediocrity.
The first season they missed it. Yeah. It was like the Ville Leino Christian Ehrhoff off season. Really? Pretty sure that was the first year they missed it, which was like, people thought Sabres were going to win the cup that year. And with those like smaller, I mean, Ehrhoff was a pretty big addition, but those additions, everybody was like, oh, Sabres are winning the cup, and then
it's like Taylor Hall
missed the playoffs, and then yeah, that too. I mean, that one's still a bit unbelievable for me just because I just remember like laying down in bed, refreshing my phone, and be like, who, which fake account like posted this? Yeah. Like, I had to make sure like Elliot Friedman was spelled right. I was like, is that actually a check mark next to his name? Yeah, I was what?
Now you can't, according to, I think officially today, you won't be seeing many blue check marks at all.
But,
it's just, I don't know. We'll get into more next season. I don't want to get into deep on the expectations more than we already have. Let's move on to anything in the press conferences that specifically stuck out to you. There's going to be a couple things I might bring up, but I just want to get it to you first. If you don't mention them, I will.
I think the question about UPL to Don Granato, how Granato said he views UPL as a piece of the future, I thought that was a little interesting. I mean, he's a head coach, so you don't really expect him to go like too much into whether or not a player will be here next year or what their future looks like here. I mean, obviously, as a coach, they're going to want to keep everyone around. They're going to want to make them the best player possible. So maybe it's not the best look into the future on what their plans are at the UPL, but definitely found it interesting just because that second goalie spot next year is still a pretty big question mark if they don't plan on carrying three goalies next season, because it does seem like Devin Levi played his way in the roster next year. I mean, barring an extremely disappointing preseason in camp, I feel like he's definitely going to be there. The second guy is, that's where the question comes. I mean, do you go UPL, Comrie, or do you look outside of the organization.
Okay, well, let me ask, well, the two things I will say. Don Granato, one, said he's like, I'm never going to bury a guy in the, to the media. We're very hard on them internally. It's just never. It's just not going to happen. Don't expect it. Don't expect me to go and answer one of the reporters and just bury him. And two, he's also made it clear, like, hey, look, this is like Kevin Adams makes some moves, and it's my job to do the best with the team. It wasn't during like the same question when it comes to like UPL that could give you a sense where like, okay, well, he's basically saying like, yeah, I mean, if Kevin Adams makes a change, whatever. But he did say during the press conference, which is, I mean, it's basic knowledge, Adams puts the team together and I coach them. But he's like, well, he's on the team now. Got to give him all the confidence we can. And if Adams ends up making a move, all right, well, move, let me move on kind of thing. Like, I'm just kind of, I'm putting words and thoughts into his head and reading into it. But that's just something that I would keep mindful of, is he's just never going to bury a guy. And he's also the coach. I have to go back and re-listen to what Adam said about UPL. I did listen to both of them, but it just, there's only like a couple like topics that really stuck with me instead of specific quotes they said. But with what you said, would you be comfortable rolling, and these are your two goalies for the season, plan on using them as Levi and UPL? I will say, before I let you go, the games that I would like Levi to play is around 30, start. I shouldn't say play, because you can always be called into action. 35? 35 starts, 40 starts. I mean, he's a rookie. He's used to playing back-to-back, sure, but he's not used to playing, and I think one of them, Adams or Granato, said it, and it's very true. He's not used to playing five games in eight nights, or four and five, stuff like that, or you know, these really tight schedules. So I just, yeah, maybe you can play him one back-to-back, but you can't play him multiple back-to-backs knowing you have the rest of the season coming up. They're not going to drive them into the ground all season. They know they can't do that, but Granato knew, like, hey, this is the end of the season. He's got an entire offseason. I'm just going to play the crap out of him. Would you be comfortable with Levi in UPL, and how many starts would you like Levi to get?
I mean, I don't know. That's a tough question to answer, whether I'd be comfortable with Levi or UPL. I mean, I don't think I'm really comfortable with either.
Well, UPL as a tandem, like, Connery, those are your two goalies.
Yeah.
Yeah, would you be? Because I'm
so,
not.
Yeah, just because, I mean, I love Devin Levi. I mean, he played absolutely incredible in just seven games. I mean, I am a little bit scared of, like, what happens if things go south, just because then you really have to look upon that backup guy. But that's kind of what gives me pause with UPL there, or even Comrie. Just the fact that Levi's so young. But I mean, at the same time, I mean, I just really don't know what a bad version of Devin Levi looks like. I mean, I know we've seen him struggle during like one game or two games, or even a stretch at Northeastern this year where the defense kind of fell apart in front of him. But I we've just never really seen Devin Levi struggle for a very long time, right? Like for like months at a time. We just haven't seen that. Obviously the NHL is a different beast, but Levi's just such a great goaltender that, I mean, part of me isn't too concerned about him possibly falling off for long periods of time next year. So maybe, I guess that's the best answer to the question. Maybe I'm okay with the UPL Levi tandem. I mean, I think it could work out. I mean, I think, worst case scenario, you get a repeat of what you got this past season. Like, the past season was probably, outside the emergence of Craig Anderson, that was probably the nightmare goalie scenario. And the Sabres still survived it and nearly made it to the playoffs.
If UPL becomes the guy that that Granato and Adams portray him, and they're like, this is where we think he can be. You know, they haven't gotten very specific on it, but you get the sense of like where they, you know, where they think his ceiling is. If he can get there, we'll be good. He has to show me. He definitely had some good games this season, and the team defense in front of him was not good. It is a little tough to be hard on Comrie and UPL and the any other goalie that played for the Sabres. It is a little tough this year, but there's been a lot of times, man, where I'm like, dude, you're just way out of position. I don't know goalie all that well. I always had good relationships with goalies, being a defenseman, so I feel like you can kind of tell when, you know, the it is really on the goalie and it's not. You'll never say it, but there were times this year where I was like, dude, what's going on here? He's like super aggressive, like essentially going into the corner, and I'm like, you just left the whole net wide open, and your team defense is not necessarily helping you out there too. So like everyone was to blame, but I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to convince myself that Devon Levi is an everyday starter in the NHL. I think he's a very good 1B. For his rookie season, that's awesome. That's not a knock on him at all. I think you need a 1A if you really want to solidify that tandem. And UPL is just not a 1A. He's like a lower end 1B if we really want to start getting into that kind of hierarchy.
I mean, that's kind of the thing with him is that with Levi, I mean, you kind of want that 1A, 1B situation. You hope Levi takes on the 1A role, but if he can't take on that 1A role, you want a guy that could fill in, and is UPL that guy? Like you said, I'm just not sure. I mean, the thing that scares me a little bit was, like, you see the Filip Gustavsson situation this offseason where the Senators trade him to the Wild for a more experienced goalie in Cam Talbot, and Gustavsson was a guy that was struggling for Ottawa, and then he goes on and plays incredible for Minnesota, and Talbot plays not so great for Ottawa, and it looks like they're going to let him walk this offseason because they don't want to give him more than a one-year deal. So I guess that may be the fearful situation from Sabres management, is just because UPL still semi-young for a goaltender, and you don't want to kind of ditch that potential for what you believe is a sure thing, backup goalie, like a Cam Talbot level player. So I don't know. I mean, I hate to be the decision maker on goalies just because they make you look foolish all the time. I mean, I wrote an article about how the Sabres shouldn't trade for Marc-Andre Fleury, and then he goes on to win the Vezina that year for Vegas. So they make you look foolish all the time.
And I mean, like, good goalies have gotten teams very far, and bad goalies have gotten a lot of guys fired, gotten a lot of coaches fired. Yeah. And so, I mean, and especially because, like, when it comes to, like, guys having, like, a breakout season or, like, just, like, a really hot season, you know, some of these guys, like, I think Carter Hart had, like, one really good season, then he kind of fell off. He's starting to get back to form a little bit, but, like, those one-hit wonders or, like, one every couple year wonders, stuff like that, you just don't want to be the GM that trades that guy away, which that's what happened in Ottawa, and you see how that works out for him, so... I don't. My fear is, what happens if Levi is down for 15 games? 15 games. I'll bring up this stat right now. We talked about it pre-show. It was like, hey, by the way, I found this cool stat. Okay, we're starting. that was our pre-show conversation. But man, games lost. This is via NHL Injury Viz on Twitter. The Sabres were fifth best in the NHL with 150 total man games lost. So from their, like, roster, how many guys were actually injured during that time? I don't believe this includes Ben Bishop, to my knowledge. And let's say, I don't know, Casey Mittelstadt and Matias Samuelsson and Eric Comrie were all hurt at the same time. That's three games in one. So they played one game against Winnipeg, and all three of those guys were injured. That's three. So that's kind of the math they do there, to my understanding again. That's very good. And you can't bank on that, because we've seen the injury history that's happened to the Sabres all over positions, but especially at goalie. You had Michael Hauser starting, like, a good chunk of games a few years back. That's wild. I mean, what happens if Devon Levi goes down for 15 games? Inadvertent, maybe, you know, kind of gets caught up or something like that and just tweaks something and just can't go for, I don't know, 15 games. We saw 8-game losing streak this year. They had a really bad stretch, you know, when Granato was, like, you know, guys, like, is the playoffs over? And he's like, we will get out of this. And they did. But another bad stretch, like, those stretches can lose you the playoffs. You can't get into the playoffs in, October, November, December. But you can definitely lose them. And let's say there's a quick injury to Levi. Hey, you're going with UPL and Comrie as your go-to guys for the next 15 games or something like that. Maybe it's a busy month. Like, that scares the crap out of me. That really does. I think outside help at goaltender is probably the biggest concern for me. And then it's obviously defenseman. But do you share those concerns? I feel like a lot of people should.
I guess for me, it's just, I just look at that goalie market and it's literally like crap. One of the worst things I've ever laid my eyes upon in my life. I mean,
it is. I did look at it the other day. It's bad.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's because they added two teams to the league and we got 32 teams now, but I just feel like it's just hard to come by like reliable, like long-term backup goalies these days. I feel like it's always kind of
just shuffling
just
around.
A carousel of goalies. Yeah. And you just have to hope you catch a guy in the right season. So, I mean, I saw what Comrie did in Winnipeg, prior to this past season, and he was the best backup goalie in the NHL. I mean, I know Winnipeg plays a much different system than Buffalo, a lot more defensively responsible, so maybe that played a role in it. But if you could kind of get Comrie back to that level, he may be a better option than anything you find in the market. And if you get UPL playing hot like you did in that stretch where they first called him up, I mean, that's better than any other option. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're going to keep both of the guys again. I know, not to switch the topic, but I know they talked about like Matthew Savoy and potentially getting the Shane Wright treatment to start the season. Yeah. I mean, that's another roster spot you got to use in your 23 that may not be a consistent night in, night out guy.
Yep.
And if you add a third goalie to that, that eats up two spots that are a little bit useless. So I don't know what their plans are going to be. I think that's going to be the most interesting part about this offseason is, I mean, which are Comrie or UPL stay? Maybe both of them leave. If they do leave, who's coming in? I think that's going to be one of the biggest stories of this offseason for the Sabres.
Yeah, so quick shout out to the person doing a vuvuzela outside your window. Shout out Allentown.
No, it's literally like a saw or something. I got no idea where that's coming from.
Nice. So my thing with Comrie
is
those were definitely added, you know, post-production, and we're just trying to spice things up. I actually thought for like a half a minute one time, I was like, should we just like slow, like play like really like quiet music behind us the entire time? I tried it once on like, I think just like one of our like tests or something like that. I was like, this is the worst thing ever. That was a horrible decision. So luckily we don't do that.
It's gotta be like an ASMR podcast or something with the sound in the background.
That's right. I'll get very close to my microphone. Yeah. We'll NPR the crap out of it. I will say this about Eric Comrie. And it was mentioned in the press conference. He could not get a rhythm. Like when you think of games that were stolen by Sabres goaltenders, you think of Craig Anderson in Florida, which was awesome. And then you think Eric Comrie back in Edmonton or Calgary. Oh, crap. It was early in the season. It was either Edmonton or Calgary.
Edmonton, I think.
I'm pretty sure
it was
Edmonton.
McDavid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, you saw it. Like, how many games? I can't think of a game that UPL stole. He made good saves and wins, but did he steal a game? He might have. I can't think of it off the top of my head. I'm not trying to bury this poor guy. Like, he still did relatively decent. Like, I don't know. It was kind of a tough spot. Like, he started the season in Rochester. So, I mean, it was kind of a tough spot he was put in. And sometimes, and again, the team defense wasn't great in front of him. When it comes to Eric Comrie, he couldn't find a rhythm. And that is a thing in hockey. Like, whether it's goaltenders or players. I know even for me, on a very, very small level, going from high school to playing to college, I kind of like, there's a lot of reasons, but one of them that I just flamed out really quickly is because I was getting a lot less ice time than I was getting in high school. So getting a rhythm in any kind of game, you just didn't feel like you were just sitting on the bench the entire time. Did I deserve it? 100%. 100%. I should have been sitting there the entire game, but it is a thing. You know, like you're out of rhythm and, you know, one fluke goal goes in or two fluke goals go in and then your team lets you down on a few others and they can't catch up and outscore your opponent. You get the loss and people are looking at you like, yeah, a couple went in where you want better defense, but you really screwed up on this and this. And it's just like, well, I haven't played in 3.5 weeks and I've been healthy. I mean, look at the end of the season. I don't know what your thoughts about UPL and not getting a single game for like the longest time, or Eric Comrie, less about Comrie, frankly. That was not exactly surprising. But UPL, they didn't make him available for the AHL playoffs, and they rode Levi the entire way, so he wasn't getting any time with the Sabres, too, for the past, what, like 3 weeks of the season? He didn't play a game, 2 weeks of the season? Something like that? I have to be missing one. I will go back and check it, but what's your thought process about how they're handling him? Like, do you think they were saying, like, if we send you back down to the playoffs in the AHL, it shows we don't have faith in you, even though every time they get in front of a microphone, they're like, we love this guy, like, we think he's an NHLer? Like, can you understand what's going on with not making him available for the AHL playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of an interesting situation. I mean, my read on it before the presser is just kind of like they're ready to move on from him and they don't really care about like the development stage that much. But I mean, based on the pressers today, it sounds like they still like the guy, which
sounds like they like the guy, but they're not going to bury him again. I do want to like reiterate that. I'm sorry to interrupt for like the 400th time, but that is something that they like. They're just not going to bury him. They can say they like, you know, we think he's a good player and we think he's an NHL player. They can also think he's an NHL player that's not on the Sabres. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to put that out there too, because that was something that they've consistently said, that like, we're just not going to, like, we were players when it comes to Adams and Granato's. Like, I'm just never going to bury these guys. And so that's something that's pretty nice when it comes to like the interaction between the GM and the coach and the players. It's like, look, they'll be hard on us behind closed doors. May suck sometimes, all that. But when it comes to the media and it comes to the public and all the fans knowing, they're not going to bury us. That's like, I like that dynamic. Sometimes you want them to be like, you know, give them a boot in the butt, but that's just how they operate. And I think it's, when it comes to dealing with the players, I think that's a good policy. So again, I apologize, I interrupted.
Yeah, I mean, I know they spoke about building a relationship with Levi for UPL, which once again is extremely strange because it was only a few weeks they were together. I mean, they're going to spend that much time together during off-season workouts and training camp and whatnot prior to the season. So it's like, was that really the thing for them there? I mean, I don't think it's too big of a deal that he won't be in Rochester for the playoffs. I mean, I think there's still only like so many things he can learn down there. I mean, I think most of his flaws are still at the NHL level. So that in itself might not be too big of an idea or too big of a complaint, but really just like how the whole situation unfolded, like what was said during the pressers today, it's just, if I'm UPL, I'm not really sure like what direction this team wants going with me. I think he'll probably get more clarity once he goes through the end of season meetings with both Kevin Adams and Don Granato. But just as a fan, I mean, I can't really get a read on what they currently think of UPL.
So last time we played was April 1st against Philly. Then there was 7 games where he didn't get a start. It was Levi, and then the one went to Anderson, which I thought it was worse, frankly. But it was, when did he play here? Give me 1 second. He played, I came in relief and during the Nashville game. So he played March 24th, April 1st. So the Nashville game was the 21st of March. He played the Devils again on the 24th. And his last game of the season was April 1st against Philly. Like, I don't know, maybe, and you know what? Fair enough, they might just be like, hey, Malcolm Subban, Michael Hauser, we love you guys. We don't want to just send a guy down from the NHL to block you guys out. Like, we'll roll with you, and, you know, you guys have been in this net the entire season. And, you know, fair enough, if that's what they wanted to do as well, like, yeah. I guess I can understand them wanting to, like, see if Ukko Pekka-Luukkonen and Levi are, like, I'm sure they're amicable, but they wanted to see if they can actually be, like, good together, because you're going to be spending a lot of time together if that's going to be the tandem next season. So I can understand that. But when it comes to just like him getting more games, more experience, being able to lead the team, It's like, okay, well, send him down to Rochester, but there's other factors in there too. I'm not really going to bury them over not sending him down, but it was when it first came out, like he wasn't going to be available, and then you saw how many starts they were giving to Levi immediately. It's like, okay, this is curious. So I don't know. I'm kind of going back and forth on that, but it's interesting. You know, like you said, I don't know what their thought process is with him. He could either be gone or they could keep him around for a while. I just don't know. I really don't. I'm actually going to pull up Cap Friendly, see exactly when his contract runs out here. 1 second. Oh, geez.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing with Levi, too, and like the AHL is that, is he even like a clear upgrade over Hauser and Subban if you set him down there? I mean, the past two seasons, albeit he hasn't played much this season down there, he really hasn't been statistically better than
that's true.
The other options down in Rochester.
Yeah, so. And I mean, Malcolm Subban's finally like somewhat healthy, and so they're probably pretty excited for him to get the opportunity, because at the end of the day, Malcolm Subban, awesome dude, it seems. And so they want to reward him a little bit. Like, I can understand that, too. I wish they maybe said that, you know, give him a quick shout out, stuff like that. But UPL is another, he has arbitration rights as an RFA after next season. So he actually is kind of like a trade target, because he still has, you know, a cheap contract, still has another year under it. You know, no one needs to re-sign him if he was traded at the draft or something like that. So you have that. Then there's Eric Comer, who's a UFA after, but he's making just under $1 million more than UPL. So, like, knowing how strapped for cash a lot of these teams are, or not even cash, just cap, I would assume maybe, and your best chip, because he's younger too, is probably UPL. It's, again, I could see them, you know, re-signing him sometime next year because they really do believe in him and they really see it. Or I could see them trading him as early as the draft. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah. I don't think there's going to be one of Comrie and Lukanen back. And I'm curious to see which one goes to where and for what. Because it's so up in the air. And I don't know. There's really no way of like putting a bow on that topic, but that's where I'm at.
Yeah. I mean, I've posted this on Twitter prior to the episode. I've said that if the Sabres decide to move on from Comrie, I think a move that makes a lot of sense is just retaining half his salary. Because, I mean, let's face it, they're not going to be anything close to the cap ceiling next year. And just send him back to Winnipeg so they could afford him and they could use him in a backup role. I mean, Sabres could probably get a somewhat decent draft pick out of that, too. I mean, I'm sure Winnipeg would love to have him back at $900K a year. So I think that's an option. I mean, okay. I don't think the Sabres are going to be a team that wants to, like quote-unquote, screw over guys by sending them down to Rochester. I mean, especially for guys that are a little bit older looking for more stability, I think they're going to look at all trade avenues, look at retaining money to move a guy to a favorable situation versus just send him down to Rochester and using him as a piece down there. So,
yeah, I think they try to do right by the players.
I mean, that's the thing that I love about this current group, too. I mean, is they really look after their players. I mean, especially the veteran guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, they never want a guy to feel like they were done dirty by this organization. I mean, they're really looking to kind of build their reputation in the league. I mean, that's tough to do after that whole Eichel debacle. Oof. Where it seemed like the Sabres were like the number one team you don't want to go to as a player. But I mean, I give credit to Kevin Adams and the coaching staff. I feel like they've really turned the ship around in that regard.
I mean, I don't even think I sent it, but I was about to type it up into like our group earlier when someone mentioned like they're just like really impressed with Adams and just how he's just kind of handled everything. Like, remember that first month that he was GM? He had like two dudes working with him. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, yeah. I just the way he's just simply built out the team, getting them on track, laying out a clear plan with obviously within the organization and with the players and all that and management, and this is our clear path. But, you know, giving the fans a path too, saying like, you know, like we're harping with like we're not going to make any rash decisions. We're not going to do anything on impulse. We're going to, you know, do it by the, you know, do it slowly and incrementally, because we want it to be sustained success, not just one year where you really go for it and then it all falls apart. Because you really start to see, I start to think, like, all of this, like, just trying to get into the playoffs and just trying to make the conference final and just trying to win the Stanley Cup, like Toronto, Tampa Bay, at some point, throwing away all of those draft picks, at some point is going to come back and bite them, because their stars will age, even though it seems like guys in Tampa, you know, are still going strong. I mean, at some point, that dam will break and the floodgates will open. And the Sabres want to be first in line to just overtake those teams. I even still think, like, Boston still kind of, I mean, they won 65 freaking games. I thought they were going to be a team that fell off, just like a lot of other people. That didn't happen. But, I mean, same thing, like, you've seen a lot of teams, look at Florida, President's Trophy, this year barely got in the playoffs. Who knows? That could happen in Boston. I don't think it could happen. I don't think it will happen, but it could happen. And so that's another thing when it comes to, like, I just have a lot of respect for Kevin Adams, because he's been consistent and he's doing a good job. But I've said it before, all the tearing down and saying, like, this is what we're building, be patient, here we go, like, all that, that's kind of the easy part, because now you have to start winning. Now you have to start adding pieces, and you have enough prospects and not enough roster spots or not enough lineup spots where you're going to have to make some hard decisions. They're already not bringing back Olofsson. That is my thought process. And I would assume most people would agree. Well, that's immediately going to get eaten up by someone like Yuri Kulik. Okay, well then, maybe Pozo retires. Well, that's immediately filled by Lucas Rusek. Like, that's a good thing, but it's also, like, where's the outside help coming in that's just filling a space? No, you're probably going to have to get rid of some people. And so where does that come in? And those are tough decisions, because, like we said with the goaltending, you don't want to be the guy that trades away someone and then he, you know, bursts into flames and goes scorching hot Tage Thompson style. Like, I can't even give a good example. Like, this isn't an example of it where he will go, like, scorched earth, but someone like Henry Yokiharju in Buffalo, it's like, man, this guy's kind of struggling. Well, they're like, all right, well, we got to make space and, you know, he's just a guy, and so we're going to trade him. Who knows? Next team he goes to could turn into a top four guy. I don't think so, but I'm just using him as an example. Like, is that...
Like Montour, pretty much, honestly. He's a recent
example
where that's they a good trade example. Him for pretty much nothing. And dude, now he's probably a top 30 defenseman in the NHL.
And Sabres traded a freaking first and Brendan Gooley for it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's just... But, like, you get my point here is the, like, this is the tough part now. And, well, this is going to be, like, really telling of, like, what his actual plan is. Is he going to bring some guys in? Is he going to make some trades this season to again, move out players, not just assets or, you know, handing out a contract in free agency? Because if you hand out a contract or two in free agency, that means guys are not re-signing or they're getting traded because they already have enough guys. Like, maybe Gergensen's leaves. Who are some of the other guys that are UFAs this year? Obviously, Anderson's gone.
Hinostroza,
but he wasn't playing anyway. Gergensen's. Kyle Pozo, who knows? After that, you have a lot of guys under contract. And, like, what do you do as Kevin? Do you have to trade out some of these guys to bring in, let's say they sign a good free agent, whomever it is? Well, do you have to trade someone out just to make room for them? And so, like, it's just... I'm very interested to see and to kind of come full circle. I'm interested, but I'm also confident because he's done a pretty decent job so far. Like, the jury's still out on maybe a couple players, maybe like a guy like Jordan Greenway. It's like, did you overpay there a little bit? But again, that it was like a second and a fifth. Like, trading someone out that goes scorched earth or trading out a first that turns into something or trading out a first and you guys tank it and it turns into a top five pick or something like that. That's catastrophic crap right there. So what's your, like, I'm not going to make this into a glowing endorsement of Kevin Adams because it's just, you know, we try to be very objective and just kind of spew our thoughts. But I've been really impressed, and it goes beyond just like, oh, I think he's a good GM. I just think he's a good dude. Like, I just think he's a good guy. And you can't say that about every GM or every coach or whatever that have come through the Sabres or have come through this league or in this league. Like, it's not all good guys, but I feel like we have two of them with Kevin Adams and Don Granato, just really good guys. That, like, frankly, I would go have a beer with them and just hang out with them. They seem like just genuine people. And so that's another connection that they've been able to make with a fan base that I very much enjoy. So my spiel's over. Is there anything about just Don Granato and Kevin Adams for, you know, praise or, you know, you want to critique them, whether it comes to where they've come from or this past season or the future?
I mean, really nothing for me, just because I don't really think they've had to make many like difficult decisions yet. I think once that comes, we could finally start to judge them. But I mean, they've built a fantastic group here so far. They could probably bring back the same exact roster they ended the season with and probably get even more points than they did this past season. So they're at the stage where there's going to improve just by having the young players get older, honestly. I mean, that's okay. That'll help them improve alone, probably enough to get in the playoffs, maybe even win a series or two down the road. So, I mean, I guess that's really what happens when you set up an organization properly, which I guess is what I give a lot of credit to Granato and Adams for, is if you set up an organization properly, you don't have to be like looking on the free agent market for these great value deals. I mean, that's something you do. Yeah, down the line once those contracts fill out. But you don't got to do that now. You don't have to look for trade avenues for every single part of the roster. I mean, you can really just sit back, relax, and watch your young players develop. And I feel like some Sabres fans struggle with that idea just because we haven't been in this place since literally 2005. Like,
yeah,
it's been a while.
It's been a minute. I think the thing is what I almost interrupted you on, but I stopped myself. Shout out to me for that one. Not actually shout out. That's pathetic, but is basically the yikes. Is basically just saying how do I want to phrase it? It's they're not constantly scrambling to fill holes, whether it's through free agency or trades, where you're paying like a first round pick for Tanner Janot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're just not, they don't have to do that. And they're set up and it, like, I will give them praise where, again, they haven't done like the hardest parts yet, but they've set it up correctly, which other GMs that have come through have botched. So I'll give them credit for that because, you know, shout out to him for at least getting them on the right track. Because for the past how many years, we weren't even on the right track. And so it's just, at least we are there now. And we're headed upwards. So for the sake of cutting off some time, we're going to try to burst through a couple different topics. First off, what were your thoughts on, it's not much to say about it, but the Ryan Johnson situation? Sounds like the Sabres have been like, we're ready to sign you. Just let us know when you're ready. And Johnson's like, okay, and just hasn't done anything. What's your thought process there? Because for me, yeah, I've always just assumed like, just consider him gone. You know, don't be like super negative about it. Be like, why does every college free agent leave us? Like what happened with Devin Levi. But when it comes to Johnson, yeah, just assume he's gone. And then if he signs, sweet, let's freaking go. That's awesome. So what's your thought process?
I mean, I know we talked about it a lot this last offseason where like after the development camp, we looked into like the vibes of each guy, like during their interviews and stuff, and based on their situations and kind of predicted like whether or not they'd sign with the Sabres. And I feel like we've been pretty spot on with all three so far. Cause I think we agree that Portillo, yep, that guy came to camp. It was pretty much like, yeah, I'm probably not going to be here. Yeah, I mean, place, even though he didn't directly say that. Yeah. But that was the vibe you got from him. Levi just seemed so excited to be there. I mean, looked excited to be a part of the organization. I mean, the guy's literally wearing like a Bills hat after practice and stuff. It's like, this guy is probably going to sign. And then Ryan Johnson, he was always this like the, you literally have no idea what this guy's thinking type of guy. I mean, that's the guy he's been. I mean, that's kind of what he was heading into his senior season this past season. really never made a formal announcement like any of his teammates. He kind of just showed up and didn't sign up to Sabres. And they're like, all right, and he's going back to college his senior year. And I kind of get that same vibe from him now, is that Sabres have made their pitch. The ball's in his court whether or not he wants to sign with them. Yeah. And you just really have no idea what this guy's thinking. He hasn't announced one way or another that he plans on signing elsewhere, like a guy like Skyler Brindamore, who announced he wasn't signed with Edmonton, signed elsewhere. You haven't even gotten that type of announcement out of him.
He signed with Charlotte, I'm pretty sure. So he signed with Carolina.
Yeah,
like
he signed with the AHL team, which was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's he's probably...
Which I think is Florida's... I think they're actually Florida's affiliate now, which was...
No, you're kidding
me. Yeah, which was...
You're kidding
me. A little strange, but... Yeah.
The Charlotte Checkers.
Yeah, somehow, I mean, I just noticed that because I noticed Mackie Samuskevich was playing for the Checkers. I'm like, how are they?
Ew.
Yeah.
What is going
on? It doesn't match.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Carolina Hurricanes AHL team? Yeah, AHL affiliate. No, not Sebastian Aho. Chicago Wolves. What the hell? Okay.
Yeah, that's always like the...
What is going on here? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the Checkers literally have like... Carolina Hurricane type uniforms too. Still,
I don't
like
get
the
it.
Panthers affiliate. Oh,
God, okay. What? All right, whatever. Makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I actually had some news on. Believe it or not, I have news on the Charlotte Checkers for this episode. I do. Would you like to hear it?
Oh yeah, I feel like we gotta hear it now.
Is the Amerks are playing them in the Winter Classic next season, the 13th of January in 2024. The Rochester Americans will be down in Charlotte and playing outdoors against the Charlotte Checkers.
That's pretty cool.
There you have it. We will be getting into the Amerks shortly, but since we're on the topic, might as well hit you with that. So, yeah, like, interesting. He signed with Florida, or I guess Florida's AHL team. But his man, I was like, oh, that makes sense. He signed there because his dad's the coach of Carolina.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't freaking matter. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, back to the drawing board we are. When it comes to anyone besides Johnson, just the defensive depth we've heard a lot about. On one hand, your defensive depth or your prospects, like your 20-year-old, like good defenseman that you're like, okay, yeah, he's about to come to the NHL, or like we really think he's the guy. That's Owen Power. He's already in the NHL. And then you have like an older guy that essentially just graduated from being a prospect technically, even though he's played 15 freaking years in the NHL already. Rasmus Dahlin, like, where do you draw the line between like, hey, we don't have great defensive depth in the system to... I mean, well, but at the same time, like, our best defensemen are super young with Dahlin, Samuelson, Power, and they even threw Joki Haru in, like, yeah, he's still really young. You know, people need to remember that. And it's just like, okay, sure, fine, fair enough. Like, they have young defensemen, but their young defensemen, like, in the system, it's not great. They have a couple guys like Mats Lindgren and stuff like that, but what's your take on that? Do you not put too much stock into that because they have Owen Power and Rasmus Dahlin, or are you like, look, just keep building?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for me, it hasn't been too much a concern for me because, like you said, I mean, with Power and Dahlin, I mean, you're getting like two workhorse defensemen who can give you 25 minutes a night on different pairs. I mean, both guys could literally play with any single human that's on this planet right now. I mean, they could probably even play with like Air Bud and post like a 80 expected
can you imagine
goals
getting,
for percentage some
can you,
nights.
Can you imagine like just seeing like Air Bud just doing like crossovers through the neutral zone and you're just like, I'm getting burnt. I'm getting burnt. This is great.
It's got four skates on.
That's right.
Like, I mean, I could see an Air Bud Owen Power pair maybe, but yeah, I mean, like, with those two guys, I mean, you really don't have to worry too much about defense. I mean, to fill out depth roles, I mean, you could just sign a cheap free agent every year. I mean, Toronto's been doing that for like the past 5 years. I mean, I don't think it's too much concern, but it is an area where if they have the draft capital, I mean, may as well try to focus a little more later on picks, maybe on defensemen. I mean, I'm never a fan of using like higher picks in the draft as like best, those should always be best player available picks in my mind. I think if you try to target a position with those picks is where you could get in some serious trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be necessarily looking for a defenseman only in this upcoming draft. But I mean, those two second round picks, I mean, you got a lot of very interesting defensemen with some pretty intriguing ceilings who will be available in the early part of that second round. So maybe they take a gamble there. A little bit hard to get a read on which defenseman they're exactly looking for, because a guy like Seamus Casey this past offseason and Lane Hutson, who's everybody has heard of with his great season at BU,
mm-hmm.
the Sabres didn't even interview those guys prior to the past draft. They weren't really even on their radar of players that they considered. So it's going to be interesting to see which guys exactly they look at, because Mats Lindgren was – he's another guy who's just like does a bunch of fun stuff defensively, may not be – that reliable on the other side of the puck. He's more of an offensive guy,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, they took the chance to draft him, but they didn't meet with a guy like Casey or Hutson. So it's a little bit interesting to see which type of defenseman they're going to target in this upcoming draft. I mean, that's going to be the thing for me to watch this offseason as well, is which type of players they go for this draft, particularly on the defensive end.
So far, in the playoffs, Mats Lundgren in 8 games has 2 goals, 6 assists for 8 points. This season for the Red Deer Rebels, he played 63 games, 11 goals, 23 assists for 34 points. As of right now, I'd probably say he's their best defenseman outside of the NHL. Yeah,
Maybe Novikov.
There's Nikita Novikov. Then there's
like a big guy.
Probably Komarov is the only other one. Then there's Nyberg and Albert.
Oh, yeah.
Nyberg, God, how do you say his name?
I'm pretty sure it's Lukosin.
Yeah, it's got that weird – it has, like, that A with the weird, like, circle over it.
I butcher every name that has that A with the circle on it.
I butcher every name in general. So, yeah, us together, not great.
You don't even need that. You even need the A with the circle on top.
Nope. Just give me something with like a couple vowels and I'm like, nah, I'm done. So yeah, I mean, like, I could see them going with depth. They do have 8 draft picks in 7 rounds. So they have 1 first round pick, obviously. They have 2 in the second. They have 1 in the third, which is the LA pick from, what trade was that from? That trade
was Portillo, was that?
That was from Portillo. That's right. I thought, for some reason, I thought it was next year's third round pick, but I'm looking at it and next year's third round pick doesn't say LA. So look at me go. Round 4, round 5, round 6, round 7, they all have their own pick there. I could see them maybe trading away one of those picks, maybe like a 4th rounder and someone else for maybe in like a minor deal, something like that. But for the most part, they're going to have more picks than there are rounds. I can see them drafting a couple defensemen for sure. It might just be one of those years where they feel there's better depth. I don't know really why they wouldn't interview guys like Casey. I'm just trying to think. It feels like those kinds of guys would fit well, and Lane Hudson would fit well with what they like as defensemen, but let's not get too hung up on it.
Yeah.
That's their depth. Let's talk about a couple other guys. Matthew Savoy. I'm just going to leave this to you at this point. Matthew Savoy. Yuri Kulik, I guess we'll talk about. I'll throw this out there. Amerks are starting round 2 of the playoffs. There's like a play-in round, so it's technically round 2. Just think of March Madness. Same thought process there. They start round 2, best of 5 series against Syracuse Friday. In Syracuse, there's 2 games Friday and then Saturday. They play in Syracuse, and then the Amerks are home the next Friday, which is the 28th, April 28th, home in Rochester. If they could get swept that night, or they could win in a sweep, best of 5 series, like I said, that's pretty much it on the Amerks. So let's talk about Matt Savoy and Yuri Kulik.
I think Savoy right now, I mean, he's in a huge battle in the WHL playoffs right now against Moose Jaw.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Winnipeg obviously had a great regular season, but, I mean, this Moose Jaw team, I mean, they're a solid team as well. Not as good of a regular season record as Winnipeg, but they've got a ton of talent on that team. I mean, you're looking at a team that's got a bunch of future NHLers on it as well as Winnipeg. So it's not going to be an easy league for Savoy to win. But that Winnipeg team has a ton of talent, but so do all the other top teams in WHL. It's a very top-heavy league with some of the trades that have been made. So, I mean, we'll see what he does there, how he finishes out there. Obviously, he's going to be a guy who hopes to make the team next year, but like we talked about earlier, just not a lot of spots available on next year's roster, especially for a smaller forward that's going to be a teenager still when next season starts. Mm-hmm. So that's not exactly a guy you want to rely upon at the bottom of the lineup. I mean, look at a guy like Jack Quinn this year. You thought he was young. He was 21 years old playing this season and a year and a half older than Savoy. So I think it's going to be very tough for him to find a spot on next year's roster. I think we will most likely see him back in the WHL, finally getting a chance with Canada's World Junior team, sure of a big role in that team, despite not making this past tournament's roster. So I think that's probably going to be what happens with him. Yuri Kulik, I mean, in my mind, I think Kulik has a better shot at making the Sabres roster than Savoy. I mean, obviously he's still going to be a teenager, but I think he plays with just that edge to his game. He just plays so aggressive. I mean, he's got already a lot of pro hockey experience like all these Czech prospects do. He's already producing decently well in Rochester. I do think he'll end up coming just short of making the roster once we finally get to training camp, but I think he's going to make a great push for it. He's a guy who I think many are even more excited about than when we drafted him. He's just a guy that I think everyone in Buffalo will grow to love just with how he plays the game, his aggressive style, his shooting. Just such a fun player. I know they've really enjoyed him down in Rochester. I know the development staff down there loves him. So both guys are just two pieces that are just great to have in your prospect pool. Like pretty much while you already have a fun forward group at the NHL level. So it's definitely exciting times ahead in Buffalo. And I think even more exciting times ahead with those two.
Absolutely. I think I've heard someone mention that Kulik is like stronger than most kids his age.
And that can play. I mean, look at the guy's jawline. The guy's jawline could like
immaculate jawline.
Cut diamonds. Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, when he was, what was he? He was in like Buffalo and they're showing him on TV and they got like a perfect like side shot of him. I'm like, you can't put that on TV. You can't put that on TV. He wasn't going to get taken off the air. You can't do that. Anyway, Winnipeg is down. They do play tonight. So if you're listening on this like Thursday or Friday or whenever you are listening, they do play tonight. So this could change, but they are down 2-1 to Moose Jaw. And that game is in Moose Jaw. It's game 4 of Moose Jaw. And then it goes back to Winnipeg. Moose Jaw, and then Winnipeg again is their schedule if it goes to 7 games. The Amerks really looking forward to see if they can actually make a push because it doesn't seem, except what was it last year, they had a decent run at it. No, man, I'm mixing all my, yeah, I think it was last year.
I want to say did they win a series and then lose a series last year?
I think they,
I can't even remember.
No, I know they beat Utica. And like Utica was like the best team in the AHL or something like that. We'll look it up. We'll discuss next episode, obviously. Is there anything else that we really, I don't think we missed much. I just, you know, shout out to Craig Anderson on his well-deserved retirement. He was the best goalie for the Sabres this season and seems like an awesome dude. I hope that it's the same thing with him and Opozo. I hope they can find ways for them to still be part of the organization somehow. Whether it's, you know, them just hanging out by the rink or actually having a formal job. I hope that's the case because I think they're really good guys to have in that locker room. It's not the same if you're, you know, not playing and not practicing, all that stuff, but you know, the more good people you can fill in the organization, I feel the better. So shout out to Anderson on that. Also to Kyle Opozo, if he does end up retiring, I don't really want to say too much other than like if he retires, I will breathe a sigh of relief over the things that have gone on like health wise with him. Like I'm still like picture Eric Cernak just elbowing him right in the jaw and being like, oh no, like this is like, oh no, oh no, oh no, like really freaking out. And I'm glad that wasn't the case. And if he does end up hanging up the skates, you know, from where he went to where he is now, you know, just a lot of respect for him as a dude. Again, hope they can keep him around the Sabres organization. Oh, Wolverhampton beat Brentford. Taste that, Walt.
Oh yeah.
I wasn't able to watch.
Brutal.
But there's our little there's our Premier League talk for, you know, 15-20 seconds there. But yeah.
Sabermetrics like, podcast cut, Wolverhampton takes it.
Man, it takes it. The first, you know, I guess, did they play earlier and did they tie or something like that, or did Brentford beat them 1-0?
Forget what happened that game.
I was gonna say, because we're gonna make it an aggregate.
Yeah, I want to say.
Oh man, not this game. Come on, I gotta find it right now. This is.
Yeah, I mean, this will decide.
Oh, wow, they tied 1-1, and Wolves had a red card during it.
Oh, so.
Oh, let's go. We did win the cup. Let's go, Wolverhampton. All right, we had it.
I think I just erased both those games from my memory. That's probably why I forgot.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. So there you go. I said we were going to talk about it, and we did. That's about it. I mean, shout out to everyone that's listened. If you've made it this far, thank you very much. We appreciate the support as always. Walt, I'll give you the last word, and then I'll do my ending spiel.
I mean, I really would have loved to see playoffs this Friday, but a year from now, people will be partying at Canal Side in the Plaza for the Sabres' first playoff game since... what year was it? 2011? That's hard to believe. So
it's wild. But, yep, we will see you
next year, Sabres playoffs, yep. Calling it a year in advance.
We will see you in Alumni Plaza next April for the start of the Sabres in the playoffs. Oh, man, I really wish they made it this year. But, again, the best is yet to come. And just like the Sabres, the best is yet to come for this podcast. We're really looking forward to the future here. Thank you again for listening. This has been the Sabermetrics Podcast, hosted by the Charging Buffalo. We'll catch you on the next one.